Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we thank you for tuning in. Just a few notes. For those of you who are listening by internet, we are an interactive Bible study, and what does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity to be able to call in and ask questions or share what's on your heart, your interpretation, as we gather together, amen, united in one, to feed on the Word of God. Amen. The call-in number, if you choose to do that, is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. When you call in, if you speak and no one hears you, hit the number one. Okay, sometimes we do open up all the mics, and when we get distraction, we kind of mute all of the mics, but we try to leave a few mics open. But if you call in, hit the number one. If you have a question when the speaker opens up the lines for the audience, amen. Also, we'd like to let you know, if you could, please make sure that you mute your devices during this time. I will keep all mics on, but if you could mute your devices and just unmute them yourself, that makes it easier so that we have less distraction. Amen. We thank you for that. Moving forward, we are back in Long Island, New York, with our regular scheduled speaker, Pastor Dawn Nixon, amen, who always shares a word from the Lord, and we always walk away. Or should I say we have takeaways, you know, that that she places, you know, in our midst on our journey to help us along our walk. And we do thank her each and every time that she comes on to share the Word of God. Amen. It takes time from your life to be able to do that. And we do thank her for her time and being able to come on and share with the body of Christ. We do thank her. As we move forward, we're going to move over into the next voice you hear will be Pastor Dawn Nixon from out of Long Island, New York. Amen, amen, amen. And we're looking forward to what the Lord has shared with her this evening. Amen. Pastor Nixon, are you there?
Yes, praise the Lord. I hope you can hear me well. Just let me know if you can hear me, or you hear me okay. All right. Working with several devices and earplugs and all those different things. Just so that we are able to hear what God has to say for us today. I pray on today that all of you would find at least one somebody to get on the line, send this link or this number to someone, and let them know that we are on the line. I pray all of you who are listening on tonight are doing well. We pray that your families are doing well in this season that we're in. We are faced with many things, not just COVID, but this time of this season, there are many people who fall in depression. And so now we're in a place where there's a lot more for people to be depressed about. And so we just pray that God will sustain all of you and your family members as we are in this season. But please know that this too shall pass. We are in the New York area dealing with some clement weather, as some of you may in your own areas be dealing with some very bad weather where you are. But we pray that all of you are either home or on your way home to CC. Again, we want to honor and thank our Elder Clay and Lady Clay for being so kind to allow me to be a part of this setting of this Bible study. I do appreciate that. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord. We're going to be reading John, the 13th chapter, or the 21st to the 30th verses. And then we're going to go to Matthew 27, verses 1 through 4. So that we can get a better, clearer understanding of the text. We just want to have a word of prayer. So our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to glean through your word. We pray, oh God, today, as many are going into Bible study on today, we pray that, God, that you will give us what we need to retain within ourselves, so that in this season and the seasons to come, we can reach back to this point in time and have that word hidden in our heart that will give us instruction for our next season of our life that would be needed for such a time as this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, the word of the Lord. We'll be reading John 13, 21 to 30. In this particular reading, we'll be reading out of the King James Version. And the word of the Lord reads, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And he then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, It is he to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou dost do quickly. Now, no man at the table knew of what intent he spake this unto him. Verse 29, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the thief, or that he should give something to the poor. He then had received the sop and went immediately out, and it was night. All right, I'm going to go to Matthew 27, and this one I'm going to read out of the easy-to-read version, the ERV. Early the next morning, all the leading priests, I started at verse 1, and older leaders of the people met and decided to kill Jesus. They tied him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Judas saw that they had decided to kill Jesus, and he was the one who had handed him over. And when he saw what happened, he was very sorry for what he had done. So he took the 30 silver coins back to the priest and the older leaders. Judas said, I handed over to you an innocent man to be killed. The Jewish leaders answered, we don't care. That's a problem for you, not us. And Judas threw the money into the temple, and then he went out of there and hung himself. All right. I want to pick for a subject on today or on tonight. You need to know what you're getting into. You need to know what you're getting into. Now, I am aware we are not at Easter. I'm aware we are going into the Christmas season. So somebody would ask the question, Pastor, why are we here in this particular text when we are in the season of giving, we are in the season of acknowledging the birth of Christ. But yet and still, I am here reading a text concerning the time when Jesus was taken away based on the betrayal of one man. Because what I've understood is the word is the word. And anytime the word is given, the word is given in a season, not necessarily because we're trying to make ourselves festive, but we're getting into a season where we have to be reminded of where we are. And there are many people who are in the midst of turning away from God, even in the season of his birth. There are those right now that don't want to hear anything about Christmas, don't want to hear anything about Jesus. Even though they take this particular day to, or this season for his birth, is not necessarily the time where he was born. It is when they acknowledge of it. But one thing we do know is that he was born, he died for sin, and he was resurrected. Let's not make any mistakes concerning that. Jesus died for our sins, but he was resurrected. And so you've got to understand there is a difference when we die, and we die into the death, and we're going to come to a place where we are going to be resurrected as well. So what I want us to understand is that you have to be careful what you're getting yourself into. And I say this because we are in a season where people are very vulnerable. There are times where people are, their spirit is very weak, even though, you know, their spirit is willing, but their body and their mind are in weak moments. And one thing I've realized is it doesn't matter how saved you are, what background of salvation you come from, if your whole family was saved, you know, your mother and father were bishops and pastors and leaders, and you could have the whole five-fold ministry wrapped up in your bosom, you are still vulnerable to a place of weakness where you can get to a place where you will allow or make room for the enemy to try to overtake you so that you will be led by him. And so it does not matter how deep you are. It doesn't matter how sanctified you are. It does not matter how long you've been saved. That's why we have always got to get to a place where we keep our guard up, our mind ready to do battle, spiritual battle. And so what I found here in the text is that they were at the supper. They were at supper, and at the supper, Jesus, knowing within himself, knew that one of them were going to betray them. And all of them were asking the question, God, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Anytime you have to ask a question like that means that it may have come to your mind at one point in time. This may have been a question to you. Maybe it wasn't just Judas that was approached, or was it at a point in time that maybe they would have given themselves that opportunity to betray Jesus, because you would never ask a question like that unless it was in your thought process at one point in time. And so you've got to even question yourself, because sometimes there are times where we are not always understanding of what God's doing. And this is why we have to be trusting in God. We have to make sure that our relationship is so tight with God that air can't get through it. Because when we allow a place where the enemy has any room, I promise you, you know, if you give him any room whatsoever, he's going to squeeze and make sure that he makes more room for himself. And so we've got to be ever so careful, especially, and this is why I'm here, especially in this season where we're in, where there are so many people who make decisions based on their situation and the trouble that they may be going through. And so there are many who have made decisions that they have made because they were in trouble. And now, because of the decisions that they made, now they're living with the decision that they made that they just don't even know how to live with. They don't even understand, why did I do this? And a lot of times we blame other people for other things, but sometimes you've got to deal with the decisions that you have made that were not great decisions that affected somebody else's life. And that's why it's important that we make sure that we are prayed up and that we allow God's will be done in our life. Anytime Jesus prayed, even when he did not necessarily want to do the task at hand, he would say, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. So it lets us also know that Jesus also wanted a way of escape. Even though he knew, is there any other way, God? Is there some other way that we can get through this? without me having to make this step. If there is not another way, God, then I will still do your will, which lets us know that Jesus also wanted a way of escape, because it wasn't necessarily that he did not come and did not know his assignment, but what he did know is, God, if you've got another way to get me out of this, please let me out of it. Because one thing I realized is that it's not so much I think that Jesus had a problem with dying on the cross as much as it was of how people treated him before his death, especially when he knew what he was doing was to be done for those who were mistreating him. It's one thing, okay, I'm going to make this decision, I'm going to make this move, I know that I cannot change. But it's the very fact that the people who I'm doing this for have no clue of what I'm really doing. And they're chastising me, and they're backbiting, they're betraying me on many levels. Now, you've got to understand here, the betrayal happened, but guess who orchestrated the plan? The Bible lets us know that it was the leaders and the priests of the church. See, there is nothing new under the sun, people. We always talk about how people in the church don't love us, and people in the church are the worst people. They're worse than the people out in the world. You know what? I found out it's balanced, because you have not been mistreated until you've been mistreated by people who don't know God and don't care nothing about him. And watch this. Everybody Amen. In church does not necessarily know God. It's just that they're in the church and they're under the umbrella of the illusion that they know God, and they try to make you think that they know God. But what you have to understand is the enemy always comes in sheep's clothing. So we've got to understand, we've got to get ourselves to a point where we have to understand, we have to make sure that whatever we accept in our life and choices that we make sure that you make those decisions not based on a whim. You got to make sure that whatever choice you make, you evaluate the choice, or you make a decision. When the angel of the Lord came to Mary, she had a choice to receive the word of the Lord and to accept it or not. She didn't have to accept that. It was not being forced upon her. He said to her that if she accepted this choice, what would she would be known among many women. But watch this. Even though she was going to be known among many women, she was also going to have to deal with the ridicule and the way she was going to be treated because of how all of this came about. And so you've got to understand that there are things that you're going to do that are in the will of God that are not going that are not always going to be easy. It's not going to come without consequences. We look at people who are anointed by God, and they are who are out there and they're ministering, and the Lord is blessing them. You don't know what it costs for them to be where they are. And a lot of times we look at what we consider to be the light or the limelight shadow on them because they are ministering and God is using them. But you've got to realize that even in that being used, there is some difficulty. Your life is really not your own. When you turn your life over to God, it really belongs to God. And whatever decisions that are being made, they are being made based on God's will. So when we look at what Jesus went through, what Mary went through, even what Judas went through, you've got to realize that the Bible, when Judas, when they were asking the question at the seat at the supper, they said, "Who was it? Who is it?" He said, "To whom I give this sop to." After I dip it in there, I want you to know that I'm giving this to you. Who's the one that betrayed me? Now, they all asked the question, and when he handed it to Judas, he then said to Judas, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Mm-hmm. Do it quickly, because you've got to understand that there is nothing that we do that God knows nothing about. God knows every move we're going to make before we make it. And so he lets him know there had to be a Judas. Y'all have to understand, there had to be a Judas. Watch this. Judas, this did not necessarily come into the thought of Judas's mind until the enemy entered into Judas. The spirit of the enemy or the devil entered into Judas, which had to be received from Judas. I don't know where Judas was, what he was thinking about, what he was going through. I don't know if he was at a low point. I don't know, because when you're around, can you imagine being around God, physically being around God, and your spirit still be open to the enemy? Watch this. We have not seen God, yet they were walking with God, and they still were susceptible to allow the enemy to come in their lives. Watch this. We've also got to understand that we cannot allow, this is nothing more than an example for us to follow, to understand that we cannot allow any room for the enemy to come in our lives. And a lot of times we will allow that to happen based on where we are at the time. My God. That problem is based on where we are at the time gets a lot of people. A lot of people in trouble when you are doing things or making decisions based on where you are at the time. Why do I say that? Because a lot of us have accepted things based on where we are. What do you mean? Financially, we got ourselves in a struggle because we needed to get out right away. And what ended up happening is that we put ourselves in a worse situation than we would have been if we would have waited. My God. But somebody said, well, my back is against the wall. I have no other choice. This is what they said. They said, if I don't have this money by a certain amount of time, they're going to put me out. If I don't have, and I have nowhere for my family to go. One thing I've realized is that those who are his, those who are the children of the Almighty God, sometimes we're going to go through some struggles and tribulations in our lives. Sometimes there are people who are going to be addicted. There are some people who are going to be without food. They're going to be without shelter. They're going to get sick. They're going to get those things because what? Guess what? It is a natural process. You are going to have these things because we are fallible people. In other words, there are things. This body is just a house for our spirit. Watch this. Because we base things, my God in heaven, we base things on our outward body. We do not base things on our spirit. And just because your physical body is weak and just because your physical body is sick does not mean I'm sick. So somebody didn't catch that. The physical body that is going to come back to this earth, to the dust of this earth, can get sick. But the spiritual body, we've got to understand is that if the spiritual body is well, then it should be well with our souls. My God in heaven, this is not our home. I'm going to say it again. This is not my home. And the more and more I see what we are going through in this land, it lets me know that this is not my home and that I have a kingdom. Oh, my God. Those who are kingdom-minded understand that this is not their home. And since this is not their home, they're not really concerned so much about the physical body as much as they are about their spiritual body. What do you mean? I'm saying that we've got to have the mind of Christ. We have to have the mind of Christ. You can get all of these things done. You can have your body just as physically fit. You can have your immune system can be the best immune system in the world. And you can walk out the door and get hit by a car and it's all over. It all depends on when God says you are done. And when you are done, that's when God says you're done. Watch this. And to be absent from the body. My God, somebody ought to be dancing right now where they are. To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. My God in heaven, ain't that what we're trying to do? But we've got to be careful on what we get ourselves into in the meantime. What do I mean? I mean that we have to be ever so careful what we allow our spirits to indulge in. We have to be ever so careful because what gets entered into the physical body enters into the spiritual body. Why do I know that to be true? Because there are certain things that we watch on TV. There are certain things that we allow to infiltrate in our conversations that are infiltrating our physical body that will override our spiritual knowledge. I'm going to say
yes.
that again.
Yes.
Just in case somebody lost it. There are things that we impart in our spirit, in our natural body, that affect our spiritual knowledge. Watch
this. Yes.
Why do I know this to be true? I know this to be true because there's a lot of things that we do that will, if we pour more of the things of the world into our body, then the spirit then adapts to what it's feeding off of.
Amen.
So in other words,
amen.
If I keep feeding my physical body worldly garbage and I never get myself in a place where I am being poured into through spiritual songs of worship, through praise, through the reading of scripture, then it affects me spiritually. Because what has happened is I have not retained enough spiritual food to sustain my spirit because I have allowed the natural to overtake my spiritual body. I also know this to be true because otherwise the scripture would not say that we have to allow our flesh to die daily. Because if the flesh dies daily, then that means the spirit will grow daily. You're going to have to feed one or the other. Now, we understand that we have this physical body, and we're going to have to balance it out. You can't be so spiritually minded that you can't live down here on earth, that your feet is floating off the street because you're so heavily minded that nobody can talk to you. You're so deep that you are airlifted off the ground because nobody can understand where you are. So we've got to understand there has to be a balance, yes. But at the same time, we have to look at everything. There, it is so amazing that God has given us such instruction on what is going to take place in our life. And as we get closer in the days of our lives, and I'm looking at my life and I'm looking at all different things that I'm going through, and some of you, too, who may have been born years before me and even in my year, we're looking at the Bible being revealed.
Amen.
The things that we talked about, we're looking at it every day on television, every day on CNN, NBC, ABC. It doesn't matter. Every time we're looking at it, we're seeing the development of what God's word had already prophesied to us. Way before our existence. Can we open our spiritual minds, people of God, and not allow ourselves to get into things that we are going to regret? And there are many things that we've done and many things that we've gotten ourselves into that we have regretted. We wish that we could change. We wish that we could get back. But one thing I realize is that God does give us a way of escape. That's why he gave us his son. The importance of his son. Here we come to the festive. Okay, here I come to Jesus' birth. He gave us the greatest gift that mankind who has ever been born on this earth. This is your escape, people of God. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason for the season is not Christmas trees. It's not because of Santa Claus, watch this, and his 12 reindeers when he had already given us 12 disciples to show us the pathway of what we need to go. And as many times as we look at where we are, why is it so that the people are trying to get rid of who Jesus is, erase the memory of who God is in our lives, and try to downplay or water down who Jesus is. No, you can't pray in Jesus' name. No, you're going to offend somebody. You've already just offended me by saying that you want me to denounce my God. You're not denouncing any of anybody else's God. Why? Because we know that when we pray in the name of the Almighty God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, things happen, my God. And the enemy knows that if we can shut the name down, if we can close our mouth, if he can close the mouth of those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus, then he can water down the power on the earth. Y'all need to catch that.
Amen. That's
he
right.
He will water down the power on the earth when he decides to take out the name of Jesus. So that's why it's called Xmas and not Christmas, because it wants to take the Christ out of Christmas. And you've got to understand that you cannot get rid of the name, oh my God, of Jesus, because when you get rid of the name, then you get rid of the power. And we know that there is power in the name of Jesus. Somebody asked me why is there power in the name of Jesus, because the Bible lets us know that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Not only that, but demons tremble at what? The name of Jesus. And so therefore, I know what I'm getting into when I decide to make Jesus my choice. I know what I'm getting myself into when I let nothing separate me from the love of God. I know what I'm getting myself into when I go to God in secret prayer. I know what I'm getting into when I decide not to indulge in worldly gossip and worldly things. Why? Because the more I have of him, the less I have of this world. And when I tell you that we are in the world, but not of the world. I'm going to say that again. Just because I'm here don't mean I'm like everybody else in this world. Does not mean that I have to do the majority of what everybody in the majority does. Just because everybody in the world thinks it's normal to those who are in Christ, know that it's abnormal. Why? Because if it does not line up with what God says for our life, it is not what God wants for us. And so when I know what I'm getting myself into, there is a power that the enemy shakes when he comes around you, because he knows I can't play with this one right here. I cannot mess with this one right here, because she has the power. Oh, my God, help me again, Scripture. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? So many times the question is asked, who are you? Because you've taken down the water down for, don't do it, don't do it. People of God, don't do it. Make sure you keep the name of Jesus going. And the more they say that they don't want to hear his name, watch this. Even the Israelites, even they understood, watch this, the more they afflicted them, the more they grew. And so they got an understanding that you can afflict us, you can try to do things to us, but we're going to keep growing again. We're going to grow again. Oh, my God. It's going to be just like gremlins. Every time you water us, baptize us, we're coming out and we're going to multiply. Why? Because we know that when God is over our life, there is power within what we what God has given us. He has given us some of the greatest gifts. And if we as people of God don't see what God has given us, we're going to lose out on everything. My God, it was in a small package that was in a wound of a woman, and that wound of the woman burst forth the great gift that is given to mankind to save us from our sins. So if you know what you're getting into by getting in with Jesus Christ, you've made a good decision. I hope and I pray on today that some of us understand. Now watch this. Can I just tell y'all, because Judas realized what he had done. Watch this. When he made the decision to take the silver, the 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus, he did it based on where he was at the time. But how do I know that? Because when they took Jesus, after he received the 30 pieces of silver from the leaders in the synagogue and the priests in the synagogue, that's when he realized, I made a mistake. Watch this. He tried to correct what he had done. Everybody talks about how Judas had taken and betrayed Jesus. But very rarely do we hear people talk about how he tried to reverse what he had done, because the Bible says he was very sorry for betraying Jesus and turning him over to them. And when he tried to make it right, he says, listen, here, y'all take your money back. I take it back. I've made a mistake because this man has done nothing wrong. I have betrayed an innocent man. And when he said that, they said, that's not my problem. That's yours. Mm-hmm. See, watch this. The enemy will always get what he wants. Watch this. And leave you holding the bag. The Bible says that he then took the 30 pieces of silver and threw it. He threw it there in the synagogue. They said, now, this is what trips me out about all of this, Elder Clay, is that they took the 30 pieces of silver and said, watch, because we can't put this back in the offering because this is blood money. We can't take this money and put it back in the treasure of the church, or back in the treasure of the temple. Why? Because we knew what we did was wrong, and we can't even take this money and put it back in the treasure. They went out and bought a plot, a potter's field plot for those who had no grave, because it was considered to be blood money.
Yes.
And when they did that, because they know, let me tell you something, people that do you wrong know they've done you wrong. And they used Judas. Judas was sorry for what he had done. The Bible says that he hung himself because he could not live with what he got into.
Yes.
What he put himself in, the decisions that he made. Did he really know what he was getting into? What? Because he was looking at the money. That was a good piece of change. He was looking at the money, even though he was holding all the money. He was looking at the money and thought he could walk away. But watch this. When you are a child of God, watch this, and you've been around God, you cannot have the mindset of those like the leaders in the synagogue. That's not my problem, that's yours. And they made him deal with what he was going through because their mission was accomplished. But they used Judas to do it. What are you saying, Pastor? Don't let nobody put you in a position where they use you. Because a lot of times we make decisions and people use us and make us, we're in a vulnerable position, because a lot of times we do things not because we want to, but because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And when we're approached, a lot of times we're peer pressured. Can I tell you, even adults are peer pressured. Even people in church are peer pressured. There are leaders who are peer pressured. Yeah, there are people who are sitting in the pews who are peer pressured. That's why it's very important that we stand on our own two feet and let the word of God go forth. That's why when the enemy tried to pressure Jesus to turn the rocks into bread, turn these stones into bread, he had to come back with scripture and say, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So for everything that you tried to get Jesus with, he had a word to back it up. That's why I'm saying to you, it is important, people of God, that you know the word of God. We know the word of God, because when the enemy comes to try to use us, he's going to know he's got the wrong one. I'm not getting into a situation where I'm going to have to sleep with the enemy to destroy my very life. It's 743, 744, everybody who is on the line, open up your line. And just let me know if you have a word that you can add on to this particular word, because it is very important where we are today that we have to stand with power and authority over the enemy, against sickness, against depression, against financial difficulty. Don't give up. Don't give in. Do not put yourself in a place where you are willing to get into a situation that you can't get yourself out of. So you make sure you know what you're getting into. It's not just physically in our physical mind and our physical decisions, but spiritually. This is based on the spiritual things of God, because a lot of times that things that happen naturally, it'll come out in the wash spiritually. So we want to make sure that we have our mindset, our mind will be in Christ Jesus, and so we've got our mindset to do right. So open up your lines. If there's anybody that has anything they want to say dealing with this particular text or the scripture, you may do so at this time.
Amen. All mics are open.
I would like to comment. It was a very good study, and we have to constantly introspectively examine ourselves and keep in mind that we have to be count our blessings. Sometimes we worry about the wrong things, and consequently, we don't enjoy the quality of life. You could have sick physically, but spiritually healthy, and things do change, and we may lose things. We deal with this pandemic, for example, and people, thousands, are losing, or in the process of losing their homes. They can't pay back a year's mortgage. The bank has got to foreclose on them. Or not having shelter in your children. And we have to realize God is going to take care of us. And we also have to exercise, make the proper choices. And even when we speak of Judas, Jesus knew he was what he was going to do. It was no surprise to him. And you have to be aware of what's going on around you. And for every action, there's going to be a reaction. And Judas actually ended up not hanging himself. And but we have to. This is the Christmas season, and we have to remember to look out for each other and really count our blessings. And not only count our blessings, but look out for the blessings we can bestow on other people. The words we use is also a gift. A Christmas gift in honor of Christ. It doesn't have to be materialistic. It could just be simply you bore somebody a meal, you spiritually or physically, you watch out for somebody. That's what this season is about. That's what being a Christian is about. Otherwise, we're engaging in hypocrisy.
Amen. Amen. God works in orders. He's an orderly God. He's very orderly. And so when God does what he does, there's a purpose. There is nothing that God does that does not have a purpose behind it or does not serve a purpose behind it. And so there are a lot of those who would have never left where they are. Now, there are people who are being blessed even in the middle of a pandemic. Why do I say that? Because there's some people and God put them in a better place or in a better means than where they were before, and they would have never left it if trouble never showed up. And I'm a believer that sometimes God has to push some folk into positions or put them in other places, and he has to do it by tragedy. Tragic situations, because sometimes that's where your blessing comes out. Miracles are birthed out of tragedy. I say this all the time. Miracles are birthed out of tragedy. Why do I say that? Because miracles are what goes against the laws of nature. It's things that are not supposed to happen. And so when we look at our tragic situations that we go through, everything about that situation says nothing good can come out of this. There's nothing going to be good out of this. This is nothing but a demise for individual. And what you think is for your demise, God is saying this is for your good. And so this is where I'm going to strengthen you. This is where I'm going to sustain you. This is where I'm going to uplift you, and this is where I'm going to promote you in the place of your tragedy. So miracles come out of those things. And so when we talk about even about Jesus, Jesus is the miracle that was brought to our life. That was because whether we believe it or not or realize it or not, when we came into this world, we were birthed into a tragic situation. And while we celebrate it, we have, you know, it's funny because we celebrate our birthdays all the time. We have birthdays and we have the birthday cake, got the birthday candle. Some of us are so excited about every birth, and I am grateful for life. But what we don't understand is that what we were birthed into was birthed into tragedy. And now we have to search for the gift of God that God gave us so that we would not live in tragedy and stay in a tragic place without God. Why do I say that? Because how we walk this earth without him is impossible for me. So now that I know who Jesus is, and now that I know who God is, it is impossible for me to live without him. And I'm at the point where in my life I can't live without him. If I make the decision right now to walk away from God and betray him, can I tell you we can still betray God even though Jesus has come and has given us life that we can have life more abundantly? We can still betray God and put him back on that cross over and over in our lives. Because we are not in the place of acceptance of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me. All he wants to do is love us, and we keep pushing him away. All he wants to do is be there for us, and we keep pushing him away. All he wants to do is take care of us, and all we do is keep pushing him away. Why? Because he's not doing it the way we want him to do it. So one thing I realized is if somebody gives you a gift, and they don't ask you what you want as a gift, and they present you with a gift, knowing it's a gift that you need, not necessarily a gift that you want. You can't turn your nose at what you need because it wasn't what you wanted. God gives us what we need, not what we want. And when we realize that what he's given us that we need is really what we want, we are going to be better for it. Amen. God bless you, Elder Clay.
Amen. I would like to also comment. I think that was there was a timely word this evening, and I like your title in terms of you need to know what you're getting into.
That's right.
Because and you made a comment about balancing. You know, whatever we.
Amen.
Whatever our focus is or whatever we entertain the most is going to be who we become. And you also made a comment in terms of, you know, all Jesus wants to do is just love us, you know, and all we do is continue, well, I'm not going to say we, what people tend to do is rather than love Jesus back, they tend to practice worldly things, you know, or idolize worldly things as rather than idolizing Jesus, and whatever our attention is focused on, they eventually that's who we become. That's who we become, rather than our focus being on Christ and spending our time. You make a comment in terms of Scripture, how important Scripture is. That's what helps keep us aligned with our walk in this life, or otherwise we get lost. We get lost if we don't have the Word with us or guide, you know, the Holy Spirit guiding us, you know, by the Word. We get lost, you know, and it's too easy to get lost, you know. So I thought this was a great word, especially with the topic and the times that we're going through right now. You know, many people are just turning away from Christ because of the situations that we're seeing, and not trusting in God. So I think it was extremely, extremely timely. Especially with these times, we're looking at, you know, the prophecy right now. You made a comment in terms about that. We're looking at the prophecy right now with the disasters and everything that's going on. That's not of God. This is not of God. You know, so when you're soaked or when you're into the Word of God, God gives us the vision to be able to see the things that's happening. You know, and if there's a time that we need to get right with the Lord and know what we're getting into, And otherwise, you know, it becomes a tragic. We become lost. You know, we become lost and find a different time in finding our way back. So I think this was a timely title, a timely scripture, and it was definitely, fulfilling, you know, for me. I was fed, you know, by this. I don't know about you, those who are listening, but these are the times. These are the times, and we're going to get distracted by so many things that's not of God.
It's weird. There's so many people that are distracted, as my husband said, but you also have those that claim to be Christians, and I say claim to be because they believe that they're doing things as Christians or making decisions as Christians because they can, but everything you can do doesn't mean that you're supposed to do if it doesn't line up with the Word, as you said, Pastor, that if it does not line up with the Word. So the Word is our divining rod. It tells us, leads us in the way that we should go. The Holy Spirit dictates and guides us. And there's so many folks that are being distracted, those that are in the world, those that are unsaved, but there are some folks that are sitting up in the church or call themselves part of the church that are also wayward and are also distracted and also on the wrong way because they're not following the Word and not praying about it. And I like that you mentioned that just because you can, just because you can, because man says you can or the world says you can, that, you know, don't get comfortable with that. Watch what you're doing. Watch what you're doing because you have to look to see, does it line up with the Word? Test it. Does it line up with the Word?
Amen.
It's very important where we are today that we heed this word on today because it has a lot to do with your next step in life. You know, we're trying to get so much stuff down here on earth when we should be setting some things up for ourselves in the kingdom of God. Because everybody's not going to have crowns in their jewels in their crowns. So you've got to make sure that when you leave here, first of all, let's get there. And then when we get there, God, you can go ahead and bedazzle my crown because I'm trying to do as much as I can in the kingdom that people will know you, not me, because I can't do anything. And that's when we can separate that, Elder Clay and Lady Clay, when we can separate us from getting God's glory and God getting all the glory. And I believe this time is very befitting for the kingdom of God, those who are in leadership and those who are in the church. It's not about us. I love that song. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Why? Because we put so much focus on man that we completely forgot about who God is. And I said, okay, y'all don't know who I am no more. Let me show you who I am. You know, and he's showing us. So we are, this is 2020, the year of focus. We're focusing on him. And if you're not taking that time to focus on him, you're losing out. You're not seeing clearly.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, and also just, you know, to make a comment on that, you know, when we are aligned, you know, with the Word of God, when we align and following the principles of Christ, you know, then we receive, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. We have peace. You know, we're not worried. But when we get, it's almost like Judas. Once he made that mistake, then he regretted it. And that's a model of our decisions in terms of following Christ. We choose to go to, you know, to follow the world, and then all of a sudden we find that it's a dark, deep place, and we want to try to get back, and we regret the mistakes that we made. You know, God gives us choices. He gives us choices.
Yeah.
You know, either you
and the difference
for me
between,
or
yeah.
you are against me.
Yeah,
so
and
I,
the
I
difference between
so
us and Judas, the difference between us and Judas is that Judas was not living under the dispensation of grace and mercy. We are.
Amen.
You've got to understand the thing that they did not get away with, that you're getting away with, is only because mercy and grace is covering us.
Amen.
And because
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost came
Hallelujah.
And the Holy Ghost gave us, and God gave us this dispensation of grace because he knew that the world was going to get worse than the time that he was in. He said, they ain't going to be able
yes.
to live without grace because I will have no people
yes.
whatsoever. You think COVID-19 was something?
Amen.
Let grace be lifted.
Yes. Amen.
If grace is lifted, it's a whole other situation. It's a whole different pandemic. Amen.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much again, you know, for your word. We do thank you. We're praying for your family, you, your church, members,
you
know, the congregation, everybody that you are attached with, to speak over. You know, we're praying, you know, that for increase and that God will continue to strengthen you as you continue to proclaim the word of God, you know, because I know that God is smiling with what you're doing. Thank you so much.
God bless you. God
and for those of you who are tuned in, we thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. God bless you.
God bless you.
I face the dawn.